Okay, now I'll give you a simple example. Okay, so
can I just ask, is it too bright for you?
Yeah, I think so. So this is a simple, you can just take this ball and put it anywhere, it will just keep moving this way. So it's a tiny program, just to show, just to talk about, just go for it very, very quickly. So the basic thing in any SDL, Pygame program is this loop, this while true loop. That's the animation loop. That's where all the action happens. And inside that, what you do is you blank the screen, you update the positions of all the objects on the screen, and then you redraw it. And you keep doing it like that. So you all, I mean, I've not structured it properly to become an extensible thing. Or it's just to talk about what's happening. So what happened, you check for events, if the events are checked, so if you hit a key or if you hit escape, it will quit. If you do this, then this function gets called. If you push the mouse button, this gets called. If you push this, it gets blocked. And these are the update routines. This part is this the part that actually updates the screen. When the thing which we have on the screen is the ball on the screen is something called VLL ball. Ball is the sprite which we, a sprite is basically, it's gaming speak for a fast moving 2D object on the screen. So you just subclass it from the Pygame sprite, and what you need to do is you set up what the image is and what the size is and where the center is and all that. So, I'm not going into detail there, I'm just going to focus on the interesting parts. The main method is something called update. Update is what gets called each time the sprite is updated. It's the thing that actually makes it move or makes it explode or whatever. So in this you can see what we do. If the ball is picked up, in the sense if the mouse is clicked on it, you just set the center position to wherever the mouse position is. So you were able to move it around, You saw, right? You saw me pick it up with the mouse and move it. If it's not picked up, then what we just increment X and Y. So it just keeps moving this way. So this is the program that does this. Now it's picked up. You move it. When you pick it up, it moves according to wherever the mouse is. Let it go, it just keeps incrementing. Okay. So now you can see that this part, the part inside update, which we were looking at over here, this is the part that actually does the computation. This is the thing that actually calculates the new position of the sprite. So what we are going to do is we are going to tie up a proper physics engine into that part of the animation loop so that you can actually see realistic kind of behavior for these objects rather than just floating, linearly. So we'll come to that. PyODE. PyODE is a wrapper around the ODE library, which is it's not a very imaginative name, so yeah, you probably understand that. So ODE is a very, very, very popular 3D physics library. It's open source. I think it's BSD licensed. It's used in games like Blood Rain 2, World of Goo, I think Call of Juarez, and a couple of others. They use ODE as their physics engine. Okay, now what? Okay, fine. Maybe I should step back a little. What is a physics engine? So the thing is, when in a game where you have a lot of complex objects, you want things to behave in a realistic fashion. Like for example, if I drop this phone on the ground, you don't expect it to bounce back into my hand. That's not realistic. You expect it to fall down there. But if I drop a rubber ball on the ground, on the other hand, you expect it to bounce a little bit. If I balance this on my finger, you expect it to tip onto one side and fall down and, behave according to the laws of physics. So what a physics engine does is it allows you to create these objects which you can simulate and tie up to your graphical things and, make things look more natural. So it's a popular thing in games these days. A guy gets shot and he goes down this way and he knocks something down and that hits something else, that tips over, falls down, water falls, and, stuff like that. So ODE is one such library. It has two parts. It's basically composed of two parts. The first thing is what's called rigid body dynamics. Rigid body dynamics is the effect of forces on masses. So you have, you know, a very high, you have a high mass and you have the gravity acting on it to fall, you know, in a following certain conditions. If you have very, if you have a very low mass, like if you have a feather and you know you put so many forces on it, how will it behave? So that's the thing, that's the rigid body dynamics part. And how that works is you create objects that are called bodies, and you create a world which consists of forces and things like that. And then you ask the world to tell you what happens to these bodies subject to all the forces inside the world, and it will tell you what happened. So that's the rigid body dynamics part. The second part is collision detection. Collision detection is like, if this falls here, it's not supposed to fall through this table. That doesn't happen. It's supposed to knock here, then it's supposed to turn this way and fall down this way. So the part that actually detects that these two things have touched and at what points they have touched is the part, is the collision detection part. So in the collision detection part, you don't have bodies. Instead of that, you have geometries, because you know shapes matter when you're doing collision detection. When you're doing rigid body dynamics, you don't worry about shapes, you worry about point masses. So here you have geometries, and they don't interact in a world, they interact in a space. That's the technical term within ODE. Alright, so let's take an example. Lots of balls falling into a pit. We can see all these balls fall down here. Okay, now I have a key. If I hit the control key, what happens is there's a force that's applied sort of like that, you know, in this direction. So you can see them all, you know, go up towards that wall and fall down again. Okay, what you can also do is you can take one of these. If I click on a ball, it's removed from the simulation. So I can take this and, you know, I can bring it up here and let go. I take this one here, put it up here. You can take this here. You see the behavior, right? So it starts becoming realistic. You can, I mean, I'm doing this for simplicity. I mean, like, if I can also click and then don't, like, this one is now not involved in the simulation. See, it's just moving around. But I could keep that also in the simulation so that, you know, it actually pushes the other balls out when I'm taking it out and things like that. So this, you understand what the difference between this, like, it, the motion looks a lot more natural than we saw the other thing just moving along the line. Okay, so we'll just take a quick look at this. So this is also similar to that for showing the animation loop actually. So the only thing which is different over here is this one. So this is similar to the other thing, like for all the events, you know, if it's quit, if it's, yeah, this is the, when I hit the control key, happens for I in spheres, I dot throw. Throw is like my function that pushes it towards the wall. I'll show you the implementation also. Then, yeah, if it's mouse button down, pick it up. If it's mouse button up, then draw up it. And you can see this tiny bit here. Yeah. This part is actually the part that does the simulation, but I'll show you that. I'll talk about that after we go through the sprite. So you can see that all this stuff is pretty much the initialization of the sprite. This is where the bodies are created. So the bodies are created. So this part creates the graphics. Okay, it creates the circle and all that. This part creates the body, which is necessary for the dynamics. So you can see that we create self.body. It's an object of type body in this world. We give it a mass, and then we say, okay, you can specify the shape of the mass, you know, so that it's used to actually compute the center of gravity of that thing. So you say, okay, this mass is of sphere, of, you know, the density is so much and the diameter is so much, the radius is so much. And then you say, now this, you know, the mass for this body is this m. And then you set the position. One thing you have to understand is, like, the coordinates in your graphical thing, your screen coordinates, are not the ODE coordinates. So you have to say, like, 1 pixel is 1 centimeter or something. You have to make some kind of scaling factor and take care of it. So I keep these two functions, G to W and W to G, global to graphics to world and world to graphics, I call them. So it's not very very profound. It's just that the world is 512 pixels wide, and I make each pixel is approximately 0.25 meters. And then based on that, I make calculations. Like, you know, if I draw one pixel, it's actually one, you know, quarter of a meter. So actually that sphere, how many ever, how much ever size it is multiplied by that. So this part is for the body. This part is for the geometry. This is used for the collision detection. So you can see what I do is I set a sphere geometry and I attach this geometry and the body so that the collision detection part and the rigid body dynamics part works together. Then I set a linear velocity, which is 15 down. That's where all the balls fall initially. And then, oh sorry, it's not 15 down, it's slightly right. The falling is because of the gravity. Okay, and this is the throw thing. You can see that I add this ridiculously huge force whenever I click the control button. You know, for every body, a force is added, which is this way and upwards. So it gets pushed towards that direction. And when I do this, when I do the update, all I do is I call this get position method on the body, which will return me the coordinates of the body in the physics world. And then I use W2G to translate it into the graphics coordinates and just put it at them. I ignore the Z component because it's a 2D thing, so we don't really care. So I set it over here, self.rect.center, which is just setting the position of the thing. Now, one thing you have to understand is like this part, the inside the animation loop. This is something important. What happens is, you see, if you want these physics simulations to be accurate, there are two things, there's stability and there's accuracy. Stability means, you know, small errors creeping up which take the whole thing out of control. And the second thing is accuracy. Accuracy is like how closely it simulates the real world behavior. So if you want both of these, it's very hard to get both of these things. So what ODE does is it values stability over accuracy. Even if it's slightly mistaken, even if metal balls bounce, it's okay. They bounce a little bit, it's okay. But you're not supposed to, you know, completely go out of control. So they try to maintain stability more. One of the ways to maintain stability is to do simulations in incremental steps. You don't want to, okay, how you do it is something like this. You have a function called step in the world object. That step, what happens is it applies all the forces, all the things that are happening inside the world at that time, and recomputes the positions. The parameter which you're giving to step is for how long this is going to happen. If you say something like, you know, simulate for 100 seconds, it's very hard to do because it can't compute for that long. It becomes too complex. So you have to simulate for very, very, very tiny, you know, time intervals if you want to actually see something realistic happen. All right? So what we do is for every animation frame, we actually do a number of physics simulations, number of physics simulations. So you can see inside the animation frame, so many iterations per frame, we do the stepping of the world. So every time you see that thing, we have actually simulated, you know, like n number of times, whatever it is, 5 times per frame, to actually get that smoothness. If you do it once per frame, it will become really wild. You won't see things happening as you would normally do. The other thing which we have to talk about here is this, the collide part. The collide part inside a space, if you give it if you call collide and you give it a callback function, what happens is it will call the callback function for every pair of objects that collide. So if two things touch at a point, it will call the callback for that. So you can use that to actually, you know, control things. Like you'll get the G0 and G1, the two geometries which are actually colliding every time you do this. So inside that, what we do is, like, you know, you can set things. Like, you can, if you do something like, yeah, see, what happens is, how it does it is, it creates a joint at the point of collision. So now they both are joined in some sense. Then you can specify parameters of the joint, like, you know, if this much degree of freedom is there, this and that, and things like that, and then finally just destroy the joint. So we're setting some things here. We set bounces to set the coefficient of restitution, like, you know, how much it bounced back. Then you can set other parameters. I forget what exactly this thing is. You create it, and then you go ahead. It'll get called, and you create a joint for that point where these two things have touched, so that it'll simulate accordingly. And then you go on like this. And then after that is done, you empty that contact group so that it's disconnected now. It's detached. the collision is handled like this. If this thing comes here, the instant it touches, it makes a temporary joint between these two. Now it's jointed. So it will simulate according to a joint, as if they were jointed. And then you detach it, so that will continue. So when it's jointed, you can decide that they stick, or you know, they come back, or they bounce, or whatever. So that's how the collision detection is done. So based on this, you can, like I showed you, this is the way it works. You pick these things up and drop them down. Okay. Now, our clone of the game. So this is, it's going to be very simple. The idea is like you'll have a tennis ball over here. If you just start simulating, this ball will fall down and hit the ground here. The idea is to get this ball somehow into this this basket, let's call it a basket. And what we have is we have a couple of levers and we have a few extra balls. Okay. If you, the code is available over here. I'll give you the URL, it's cut out. But yeah, the code is available and you can take it. Yeah, if you just Google for my name and devious machinations, you'll find it. So we're going to build a clone. Okay, this is the way it's going to be laid out. I'll just show you the code as well. So we'll have this is the way the code is laid out. So you can see that there's a data directory which contains all the usual stuff, the, you know, graphics, the sound files, the fonts which are used and stuff, all the binaries. The DM directory which contains this is the pith of the game, this is the main part of the game, the package. And dm.py is sort of the entry point where you start what you call. So there are a couple of things. There's a graphics.py which contains all the actual engine as such, you know, for the game. And there's a levels directory which will contain one file per level. Inside levels, we have kept a common directory so that we keep, like, most levels will require things like balls and levers and things like that. So we create all those things over there. Utils is just some things, some utility functions. So this is the way it's structured. I'll just show you what it looks like. So you can see that the situation is something like this. We take this, put it here. If you click start, if you click begin, that's the sound effects. So you get the idea. Okay, so if this was not the case, I mean, if you had just, you know, for example, you just say something like this and just say start, that thing will fall down and bounce. Just it's there. It didn't do it. So on the other hand, you know, whatever you do. So the idea is, it's not very complex, it's just that now there's no simulation happening, physics simulation is not happening, all these things are just put here randomly. So you click this, simulation will start. When it starts, they'll all start behaving according to the thing. That's a heavy rubber ball, it's not a bowling ball. So this is the way it is. Okay, so how this happens is, I'm going to show you. The main dm.py doesn't contain anything, there's nothing to really show. It's just trying to, you know, abstract things like, you know, with nice names, so like, you know, game window, handle events, sync frames. If not finished, then just keep updating the window. So that this doesn't do all this, this is just an entry point, it doesn't really do much. The main thing where all the action is this. Okay, I'll maybe show you this. I'll show you the level which we're talking about. This is what a typical level looks like. Okay, the level file. This contains the name of the level. We are calling it leverage because we have levers. The instructions. We keep a list of tools, and maybe. Okay, fine. I'm keeping a bucket thing also. A bucket is like you have to keep your. This is basically a general way of creating levels, which I was working on for this. What happens is like you do all this. Whatever you create, and then finally you put all the things which you create that you want the user to be able to use to solve the level, you put it inside the tools list. The tools.append this, tools.append that, you put all the stuff you want. You also have to create a method called success. success will get it should return a true or false, and it will call it in every animation loop. So the instant, so in this we don't doing anything. What we're doing is we're just checking if that basket rectangle contains the ball which we're interested in. If it is, then finished, level is finished. So, and it contains an init which basically just positions everything. And for each of the tools, we're using the standard tools, the tools which are there in STD tools. I'll show you that module. So we create a ball with a tennis ball, PNG. We create another one, okay, it is a bowling ball. Bowling ball. And then we create one more tennis ball. We create the lever. We create one more lever. And we create the end bucket, which is the last bucket where we have to put this stuff. Now, I'll just show you that. These are the conversion functions which I mentioned, G to W and W to G. You have to be a little careful with these things, otherwise what will happen is like things will bounce after they penetrate. Because the physics world, it's not yet penetrated, whereas in the graphical world, it has penetrated. So it will look weird, you know. You have to take care of that. The near callback is the same callback which I showed you. The game window is the actual window which contains all the work. It's just a lot of initialization states, basically. Then we set all the attributes. You set the gravity to, you know, so if you want, you can do the same simulation as if it happened on the moon. You change the, you know, gravity only. So you set ERP and CFM or, you know, error reduction parameter and some other thing which are used to actually adjust for errors during the simulation. Iters from per frame is 10, so that it becomes more accurate. And all the other stuff which I showed, you create the space, you create the world, you create all this. These geom planes which we are creating is the bottom and left and right walls, so that we don't want the ball to actually go into the, you know, the control panel and all that. So you create an empty plane over there. One nice thing which is there is the walls should not take part in the rigid body dynamics. The gravity shouldn't, you know, keep the walls going down. So you can make only the geometry. You don't need to create the body. You understand what I'm saying? So you can include only some parts of the thing. So for example, if you saw the lever which we did, it goes like this and comes back. It doesn't go down. Why? Because there's an invisible thing over there, a peg-like thing. It doesn't participate in the simulation because there's no rigid body. It's only a geometry to just make that thing touch so that it doesn't go beyond. So you can do that kind of thing. So I create two planes, empty planes to hold this thing. I draw a grid. This is just for, you know, making it look very, for visual feedback, right? That's the excuse. And this is the level complete. It's the function that it plays that sound and does the rest. So okay, so the window is created and then you set all this stuff and what happens is, we start the level and when we set up a level, what happens is the tools array which I showed you, all those things are positioned on the side, the graphics are set up, the bucket is positioned here, the text is written at the bottom, etc. So all this gets done. And now inside update, this is where all the main stuff is. So what happens is the same iters per frame thing which I showed you earlier, all the graphics updates. And inside each of these sprites, their behavior, the behavior of these things are controlled. So I'll just show you where that is. STD tools. Okay, so let's take one. So we have a base class called DVS sprites. Now when we take a sprite that does physics simulation, you have to create the graphics, you have to create the body. It could be multiple bodies, it could be multiple geometries also. Because all these things are necessary, right, to make it behave in this world. We have a simple state machine-like thing, so you have to put these things in different places. Like if it's on the side panel, it's not going to participate in the simulation, even if you click start. If it's in, so that's reserved. If it's picked up, if your mouse is moving it around, it can't participate in the simulation. If it's in the main screen, then it will participate in the simulation, but only after you click start. And then finally, if it's in simulation, you can't just pick it up while it's dropping and move it somewhere else. So we have to maintain some, you know, state of what's going on. So you can see that we have a thing called these are the basic methods for all the objects in this game. We have your init and you have your enable with just enables the physics simulation for that object which we're talking about. Pick up is to pick up and move it around. Drop is to drop it at that position. So whenever we drop, whenever we change the coordinates of an object, you have to change the graphical and the world coordinates. You have to take care of that. Then we subclass this and create a ball. What's different in a ball? The only thing that's different is the geometry and the number of bodies and all might be different. The image might be different. And apart from that, the way it gets updated is a little different. And then like the way it gets placed is also a little bit different. So, but they're by and large the same. It's just that the only thing that's important over here is to identify where on the screen these objects are. And when you click start, they should behave appropriately. So like yeah, you update, move this thing. Like here's what I showed you. Like you know, if it's picked up, then you just put it at wherever the mouse position is. If it's in simulation, then you have to do this part. So you what we're doing here is So for the lever, it's not only the position which we have to get. You have to get its orientation. The lever is a little more complex than the ball. See, it has a jo- it has the basic that bar thing. It also has a joint which is at exactly the middle. And this is actually jointed to the world. So when you simulate that part, there's a constraint over there. It can't rotate like this, for example, on that. So it's so ODE provides you a number of joints, ball and socket joints, and piston type joints, and universal joints, and things like that. They'll give you different degrees of freedom so that you can simulate different kinds of behavior. So we create a joint at that specific point. We attach the body to that point, and we set anchor is like exactly where the joint is. And then what we do is during the simulation, we have to normally for the ball, we don't particularly care how it's rotated. It doesn't matter to us because we're just worrying about this. But for the lever, we have to worry about its orientation. If something is touched, it goes this way. We have to rotate the sprite also according to whatever the angle the thing has rotated by. So we get the position, we get the rotation, we do a little bit of computation to find out the thing in angles, and you transform the sprite also to correspond to that. So all this work is just to make sure that the graphics and the physics, the physical bodies are in sync. Because you don't want the lever to look like this, but the ball to tip down this way, because they're out of sync. So you put all that together, and then after that, there's pretty much nothing else, because the heavy lifting of actually seeing what touches where, and whether it's bouncing or whether it's jumping, is already done by this, by the physics engine. So yeah, this is the thing. All this code is online. So yeah, that's basically it. I've tagged it. I mean, I made some changes after the version which I've used in this presentation. So I've tagged it as paper reference. If you take that, it's exactly what you see. So yeah, that's the thing. The division of where to put what has been arbitrary. I'll go to the code and that's it. Game over. You could probably make a few more levels, maybe more tools. Joints, motors, more better graphics. Yeah, I'm not really a graphics guy, so do whatever I could. That's it.
Any questions for Nico?
Can you put that address back up there again? Oh,
anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next presenter.